All this is music from Ben-Hur, the score composed by Miklos Rozsa. He defined the work as an oratorio, and we're told it benefited from his work on Quo Vadis, which had brought into play Rozsa's knowledge of musicology, a study he had taken on at Leipzig University before he entered the Conservatoire, and they tell us turned him into an archaeomusicologist. In order to give his work a good historical basis, Rozsa carried out research into the performance of fanfares, dances, secular songs, religious hymns, and more. And that would all be presented as part of his score for Ben-Hur. And as we know, we are thinking, as we do, of Rozsa's music largely as film music. His career in cinema was spent almost entirely in the United States, where he received several major honors, including 3 Academy Awards for Spellbound, A Double Life, and Ben-Hur, and a further 13 nominations for the same famous statuette. Although Rozsa was a composer of concert works, we don't hear those pieces as much. We'll have a chance to hear one of Miklos Rozsa's concert works from 1946 as the Marywood University Chamber Singers present the annual holiday concert in the Marian Chapel on the university campus in Scranton. Dr. Rick Hoffenberg is music, theater, and dance department co-chair and associate professor of choral conducting at Marywood, and he paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about what's in store.
It's something that I always think about when planning concerts around this time of year. The bottom line is you want people to feel uplifted. And there are a few different aspects of that. When planning sacred music, of course, you have to consider the texts. You want to make sure that you're choosing Advent-appropriate texts. But I also think whether it's sacred or secular music, you want to choose pieces that ultimately will leave us with optimism, will leave us feeling good about the intent of the composer. I mean, even some of the most wonderful music, the great composers, I think, oftentimes poured their best music into their requiems, you know, be it Brahms or Beethoven or Fauré. But that's not the kind of piece I think I would want to program in December. I think we want to celebrate around the holiday season, regardless of religion. And I think we want to leave people feeling uplifted by the beauty of choral music.
So even if there is an illusion and immersing us a little bit in the darkness because it's the winter solstice and the light is low, there still is always that light.
Absolutely. And People come to a holiday choral concert with that expectation, and I don't want to let them down. We, I think, maybe explore the serious side of music even a bit more than people might expect in a holiday concert. Both the chamber singers and the concert choir performances have some very substantial pieces that explore depths, but ultimately are very optimistic.
Well, you have different forces at Marywood in terms of the choral group, so tell us whom we'll hear.
Sure. So the Chamber Singers is a group of about 24 singers, all students, not only music majors, but some non-majors. It's an auditioned choir, and I am happy to accept non-music majors if they have not only the vocal skills, but the musicianship to be able to sing challenging music well. In a group of that size, when we're doing 8-part music, sometimes even more, it's extremely important that every person be musically independent and confident and know his or her own part independently. So every person in that group has to be a very confident, experienced, musically sophisticated singer. But those people are not always music majors. And that's actually kind of nice. I like having the variety of students and having different majors represented. And we do a variety of music in there. We perform several times a year. We go on tour every May. This upcoming tour will be to California, so the students are excited about that. And not only sacred and secular classical music, but we do jazz, and so we try to give audiences a nice, well-rounded concert.
And where do you like to perform on campus with the chamber singers? Where's the ideal corner?
Well, you know, we love doing our performances in the Marian Chapel at the Swartz Center. It's the perfect acoustic balance between a very reverberant space and a dry space. If you're in a dry space, it's difficult to get the singers to perform their best because they don't get any feedback. They don't hear themselves. And if it's hard for them to hear, of course, everything goes downhill. If something is too reverberant for the music that you choose, it can be hard to do very active, fast-moving music. And the Marian Chapel is just a wonderful balance between them. It's also a great size. It seats about 150 people, sometimes a little more if we pack some extra chairs in. And we've been very grateful to have oftentimes full capacity crowds for our concerts. I'm really grateful to people who come every semester and support us and seem to enjoy the music.
So how about the chamber singers this time around? What did you think about?
So I always try to balance the familiar with the unfamiliar, and oftentimes the concerts that I plan with chamber singers have a centerpiece. In this case, the centerpiece is by the Hungarian composer Miklós Rózsa. It's called To Everything There Is a Season. And if that name is familiar to audiences, it's probably through film scores. He wrote about 100 film scores, including things like Ben-Hur. He won, I believe, 3 Oscars. But he considered himself a dual musician, and he even entitled his autobiography, I think he called it the split musician or something along those lines. He made reference to the fact that throughout his whole life, he was balancing writing film scores with also writing classical concert music, which was extremely important to him. And so we're going to perform a piece that was written in 1946, and it went out of print, although when people hear it, I think they will wonder why. It's a substantial piece, about 14 minutes long for a cappella chorus on a text from Ecclesiastes, and it explores, you know, we were talking earlier about the moods of Christmas music. This really explores everything from love to hate and war and everything in between. And the music is incredibly evocative. It is very passionate. And so this love section is one of the most beautiful passages you've ever heard. And the war and the hate sections are almost out of control. They're so wild. So the group, needless to say, really enjoyed working on it and embraced the challenges. And the reason I thought of it for a holiday concert is because it ends with this wonderfully affirming Alleluia section. And I think ultimately it will leave people very uplifted, but it will take them on a journey, no question about that.
So you have this evocative, powerful music as your central piece. How do you get us into it, and how do you get us out of it, unless it is the culminating piece?
Right. No, well, it's actually the culminating piece just on the first half, but I certainly didn't want to end the concert with something like that. We do have lighter music at the end. But I'm calling the concert a Christmas diptych, referring to a piece of art with two contrasting sides. And I didn't come up with that name. It's actually the name of a piece on the concert by the talented American composer Joe Gregorio. But I also thought it was the perfect name to apply to the concert because the two halves are opposites in a way. The first half of the concert contains music written by composers from countries not normally associated with choral music. So whereas outside of America, we would probably think of England and France, Germany, Italy, the Scandinavian countries, and so forth. On the first half, I mentioned the Hungarian Rózsa. Other countries represented are the Philippines, the Netherlands, Belgium. So I really wanted to sort of give a window into the fact that choral music is a worldwide phenomenon, and it's not limited to countries that we might first associated with. So there's really wonderful, both sacred and secular music on the first half of the program. The second half of the concert brings us back to home, is music by American composers, again, both sacred and secular. And we end with a couple of carols, one, an original carol called Sweeter Still, which is by Eric Barnum. And we finish with a fun arrangement for two pianists and choir of the holiday favorite Ding Dong Merrily on High, and that's arranged by Howard Helvey.
Will you be at the keyboard?
I will, and I'm being joined by a very talented Marywood student by the name of Nathan Grabo, so we're lucky to have him, and I think it'll be a fun way to end the concert.
Dr. Rick Hoffenberg, Music, Theater, and Dance Department Co-Chair and Associate Professor of Choral Conducting at Marywood University in Scranton, speaking with us about the upcoming Marywood University Chamber Singers Holiday Concert on December 3rd at 2 in the afternoon in the Marian Chapel on the Marywood University campus in Scranton. For more information on this free concert on the web, marywood.edu. Marywood.edu. It's 2 o'clock, Sunday, December 3rd. The Marywood University Chamber Singers, Miklos Rozsa and more. And for more information on the web, it's marywood.edu. Marywood.edu.